This is a Pastor Dwayne Kaysen, New Berean Baptist Church. This is our Wednesday Bible study. Today's series that we'll begin is called Titus, Right Living Through Sound Doctrine. We'll be doing a survey on the epistle to Titus, one of Paul's co-workers. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we love you for all that you have done for us and how you have kept us during these crazy times. We ask that you would continue to keep us in your word. Let this word that we studied today be applied to our hearts in the lessons that we learned from the survey of Titus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking at Titus. And one of the things I used to teach the children is how to find books in the Bible. And in the New Testament, all of the T's are together. You have 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and then you have Titus. So all the T's in the New Testament are located together. So if you're looking for Titus, it's going to be after 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, after 1st and 2nd Timothy. And you'll find yourself taking a survey with Pastor Kaysen in the epistle to a good man named Titus. So we're going to look at the background of Titus. We're going to talk about Titus the man at this point. And then next week we'll begin to look at the introduction to the epistle to Titus. So today we're going to concentrate on Titus so that we can understand who the man was that Paul was writing this letter to. That way you can kind of glean the things that you need to glean from in our study. So, who was Titus? Soon after Paul wrote 1 Timothy, he wrote another letter to a co-worker. His name was a fellow servant with Paul. His name was Titus. And in this short epistle, you're going to find some really good instructions on Christian doctrine, Christian living, right living, taking a stand against false teaching and having sound doctrine. And it's full of grace as we look at the first, second, and third chapters of Titus. And so this young man named Titus was a good man. The man Titus, his name and his family, the name Titus was a common Latin name in Paul's day. Both Titus's parents were Greek. That means he was a Gentile. And their residence may have been in Antioch of Syria. And that's because during this time, this particular area that he's going to go to is going to be the island of Crete. But prior to that, Paul had visited in those areas, and soon after, Titus is hooking up with him, which leads us to believe where Paul was at Antioch of Syria, that seems to be the time that Titus may have joined the group. Now, you'll never see Titus, the name Titus, in the book of Acts. You won't find his name in the book of Acts, but his name is found in several letters. You'll find it, of course, in Titus. You'll find it in Timothy. You'll find it in You'll find it in Galatians and in Corinthians. So you can take your knowledge of the travels of Paul and pick out those times that Titus is mentioned, and you can sort of pick a few things about him, if you will, let's say, forensic Bible study. Where can you find Titus? And when you do, and you list those things that he is doing in those letters, you will find out a lot about Titus. You found a lot about Titus. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, Paul is writing in the letters to the Galatians, which was a large province, if you will. It wasn't a city, it was a large province filled with very many townships and areas and churches. It says in verse 18, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas," which is Peter, "and stayed with him 15 days. Verse 19 says, "I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother." Verse 20 says, "I assure you before God that what I'm writing to you is no lie." Then verse 21, it says, "Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. So this is where we think that Paul would have started to get associated with Titus, because he went to Syria and Cilicia. Chapter 2 of Galatians, verse 1 says, "Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus alone." So in this time after 14 years when he went to Jerusalem, this is where he got introduced to some of the other apostles. 14 years, and if you know a little bit about Paul's journeys, after he got saved and he got chased out of town there in Jerusalem, says he went someplace for about 14 years until Barnabas brought him alone to get him acquainted with the other disciples, the other apostles. So here we see, "I took Titus alone," there in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. So we think that Titus may have been from Antioch. Then there's the conversion. Titus may have been converted through the ministry of Paul, as is suggested by Titus chapter 1 and verse 4. Chapter 1 and verse 4, he calls Titus his son in the faith, his son in the faith. Now, 1 Corinthians 4:15 kind of sheds light to what that phrase means when it says a son. Spiritual father, if you will, was Charlie Spate. He was a navigator at Tuskegee. He was in the navigator ministry, and he was serving at Tuskegee Institute back when I was in school many, many years ago. And so here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15 says about these relationships. It says in verse 15, "Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel." So that phrase of being a son in the faith, a spiritual father, if you will, has to do with when someone has been instrumental in a person's salvation, especially when there's some discipleship along with that. There's a spiritual father and a spiritual son or daughter, or if it's a spiritual mother, if it's a lady. So that's where we get how he was converted. We think he was converted through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, as we see in Titus chapter 1 and verse 4. And there were two young men in Paul's life in particular. One was Timothy, one of the T's, and then there was Titus. So let's take a little bit of time to compare these two young men. Their likenesses. Both were young and gifted. Both were young and gifted. You might recall Paul told Timothy you need to shake up that faith that's in you. He had some faith in him and some talents and some gifts in you. And we think that sometimes Timothy was a little bit on the shy side, just from some of the writings that we see in 1 and 2 Timothy. So both were young and gifted. Both were co-workers of Paul. And they both served in difficult church situations. They both served in difficult church situations. Now, in their differences, Timothy was a half Jew, if you will. He was partly Jewish. His mother was Jewish and his father was a Gentile. Timothy was circumcised by Paul. Now, his father evidently did not allow him to be circumcised, but once Paul got to know him and was going to take him on the missionary tours with him, he circumcised Timothy because they were going to go in places where they were going to be in synagogues, and people would want to know, is he, because they knew he was a Jew in the town that he lived in, but they didn't know if he was circumcised. So he had to make sure that Timothy fit in, not because he had to. There was no requirement for Timothy to be circumcised. But it was Paul's way of getting that out of the opposition against him by having Timothy circumcised so he could fit in and avoid all of that confusion. Now, Titus, on the other hand, was fully Gentile and he was uncircumcised. And there's a time that he's going to Jerusalem with Paul, and he's not circumcised. He served at Corinth and at Crete. We think it would have been joining with them on the third missionary journey. He's strong, he's a stern personality, he's all man, a troubleshooter. Paul sent him to Corinth to deal with a divisive church. He was receptive to godly counsel, as you'll see in the second chapter of Titus. He was loyal. He worked independently. He even volunteered to go to Corinth to deal with the taking up of the offering to take to the poor who were suffering in Jerusalem. He had great affection. He is earnest in bringing comfort to others. In the second letter of Corinthians, as we'll get to later, we'll see that Paul talks about how Titus had come back with a report, and he was all giddy about the progress that was being made there at Corinth, and it made Paul smile to get the report from Titus. So we know he was an affectionate man, and he was earnest in bringing comfort to others. And again, He is not mentioned in the book of Acts. Everything that we know of Titus is from the letters that Paul wrote. Thirdly, his ministry as Paul's assistant. As I said, Titus does not appear by name in the book of Acts, but his first contacts with Paul were during those years. And let's give you a little summary of some of the ministries and the events that he had with the apostle. He was evidently drawn to the ministry and became a co-worker with Paul. He accompanied him and Barnabas from Antioch to Jerusalem. Titus is included in the other believers, as you'll see in Acts chapter 15 and verse 2. He's not mentioned by name, but he's part of the other believers of Acts 15 and verse 2. At the Jerusalem Council, Titus would have been a prime example of a born-again Gentile Christian, which is important because the people could see that he was a godly man and a godly Christian, and he was a Gentile. How could that be? They had to be Jews first. No, here's an example of a Gentile who was an outstanding young Christian man. So that was a good PowerPoint for them to look at, if you will. Because the rite of circumcision is not necessary for salvation. You can look in Galatians chapter 2, verse 3. Later, Titus went to Corinth to serve in the church there. You can find that in 2 Corinthians 8, 6 and 8, 16 through 17. Let's take a look at some of that. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6, there was a collection being made for the Lord's people. It says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches in the midst of a very severe trial. Their overflowing joy in their extreme poverty welled up rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own." God loves a cheerful giver, folks. "They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part." So, we see that he says here, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, speech, knowledge, and complete earnest, in the love we have kindled in you, you also excel in the grace of giving." So we see Titus is working with the collection of the gifts for the Lord's people who are suffering there in Jerusalem. And then in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 16 and 17, listen to what Paul says. It says, "Thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you." So we see he was an affectionate man who loved the people. Verse 17 says, "For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative." Unlike Timothy, who we think sometimes he kind of pushed, that wasn't the problem with Titus. He didn't like the grass growing underneath his feet. He was a man on the move, and he, on his own initiative, wanted to go there to Corinth. And we are singing along with him, the brother who was praised by all his churches for his service to the gospel. They took a another person with them. But now if I go back to verse 22 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to see another instance where we are going to get another glimpse into Titus's personality. In addition, we are sending with him our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, even more so because of his great confidence in you. Verse 23 says, as for Titus, he is my partner. He is my partner. He's not there to shine Paul's shoes or his sandals. He's a co-worker and his partner amongst these people. For as our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. So we see Titus, again, has a great admiration in the Apostle Paul as a partner and a co-worker, as a partner and a co-worker with Paul. Now, on Paul's third missionary journey, which was probably something like 53 to 57 A.D., Paul arrived in Troas and expected to meet Titus there. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. So Titus didn't have to follow along with Paul. Titus was able to be independently working in the Lord in some other place under Paul's direction. Titus was there. And Titus, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened the door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. Did you catch that? I still have no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. So this gives you another glimpse into how close Titus and Paul were. He called him my brother. And he had no peace of mind because he was trying to hook up with Titus. But he had not shown up there. So you'll find that he's a friend to Paul. It says that he's rejoined Paul in Philippi and gave him a good report of the ministry. We find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 6 through 7. It says, verse 6, but God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus. Verse 7, not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you have given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Here you see another facet of Titus as he comes and brings this news to Paul. So when he returned to Corinth, he hand-delivered the epistle of 2 Corinthians, and he organized a collection for the needy saints in Jerusalem. So that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10, 17, and 24. So this kind of gives you a sort of a hint and an idea of the kind of person that Titus was. And in Titus, the epistle to Titus, in chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul needed Titus to be somewhere else. Now, in the message that we had on Sunday, we talked about Titus being there on the island of Crete. But in the third chapter of that epistle, Paul needs Titus to join him, so he's only going to be there temporarily at the moment. So in chapter 3 and verse 12, he's summoning Titus to join him in Nicopolis, a city in Achaia in western Greece, and he wants to send Tychius to Greek to direct the ministry. So Titus was being asked to go back with Paul from the island of Crete. He was going to send someone to replace Titus temporarily. So the last mention of Titus in the Bible indicates that he is with Paul during Paul's final Roman imprisonment. And then Titus was then sent to, from Rome, sent to evangelize Dalmatia. And we see that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. And we believe that that's the last letter that Paul likely wrote before he was beheaded. So as a Gentile Christian, he was a particularly effective as a Gentile in combating the heresy that you'll see coming from the Judaizers. Judaizers are folks that insist that all Christians must join with circumcision. They must be circumcised, is what they said. But that was not the case. That's not correct. And Paul made that clear in Galatians chapter 5. And so we know that Titus understood this area of teaching very well. So if the subject came up, he was ready. He was ready to do his part to confound and to have a correct doctrine for those who were on the other side. So he was trustworthy, he was dependable. Paul appointed him to lead the works in Corinth and Crete, Dalmatia. Paul calls him his fellow worker. So we can tell that Titus was an insightful man, and he was had a God-given love for the Corinthian believers, as we saw earlier, and says with much enthusiasm and his own initiative, the kind of guy you would want to have in any ministry. Too bad we can't call upon him as we're looking for a pastor, because he seemed like the right kind of guy. So that's just the personal side of Titus. And in the next week, we'll talk about the introduction, and then we'll go into him being on the island of Crete. And just so you know, as a matter of homework, go look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 11. That's your homework. Go look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 11. It has to do with how we know that Paul did not found the churches there on the island of Crete. He evangelized it, but he did not start the work on the island of Crete. Your homework is go look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 11. See if you can tell why that's so. Everybody needs to make it A next week, okay? We're going to close up, and next week we'll start looking at the introduction to Titus. We'll begin in Titus chapter 1. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you. Titus sounds like a breath of fresh air after seeing so many people in history turn their back on the Lord or not follow the Lord or half-heartedly follow, and to see this young man have the kind of zeal and a desire to serve the Lord with a strong character, he must have been a great pastor, Lord Jesus. So we thank you for him being an example for us to look to for the kind of people who would fit the bill as pastors. We thank you for this passage of scripture that we'll be studying in Titus, and we ask that you would help us to understand your word and how it will help us to have a right living and a sound doctrine mindset. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.